morning's scripture lesson is found on the screen, or should you desire, you can follow along in the Bibles in your pews. You can even use the new app, which I had a message this morning on my Facebook wall from someone who was looking at the app early this morning, looking at the notes. He had cheated. He got ahead of me. So I had to say, you have to come back to church so you can actually hear what goes along with those notes. And so I think he's coming to a later service, but you can follow along any of those ways as we listen to these verses from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Jesus is talking to his followers and tells them, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Amen. Well, a year or two ago, churches throughout the state of Indiana were sent a survey with a very simple question on it. What is your church known for? What is your church known for? The responses varied from church to church and congregation to congregation. And once they received their responses, they were all uploaded into a word cloud. Do you know what a word cloud is? If you don't, take a look. I'm glad you said that, Chris. I got a picture for you, handy dandy picture that shows you what a word cloud is. And so a word cloud is an opportunity, when a program where you can enter words or sentences and phrases into this program that will then compile the most frequent uses of the word and put it into a picture. And so this picture is a little bit dark. Hopefully you can still see some of the words that are in it. When a word is mentioned frequently or most often, then it's bigger in the image. And so if you can see, it's a little bit dark, but can you see the word community? That was the number one response for churches in what they are known for in their communities. Anything else stand out to you among those responses? Food, that's right. These were Methodist churches. Amen. They were known for their food. I love that. There's something to be said about a good Indiana Methodist casserole. I don't know about you, but what else stands out? Any other words that pop out to you? Outreach. Pantry. Program. Kids. Someone say kids. Music. Yeah, our music minister saw that one, right? Pantry, yeah. A lot of words pop out. Some of the darker ones, you can see outreach on the right side. Missions and mission are both in there. They're on the kind of that top right corner. There's words like support, yeah, music, pantry, local, program is on there. I like the one just above the C in community. Can you see it? It's the word known. What is your church known for in your community? We're known for being known. I like that. I like those responses. Apparently, that was a common response because it's bigger than several of the other words. But I'm wondering, with this question, other churches were asked, well, how would you respond to it if you were asked the same question? What is Fishers United Methodist Church known for in our community? Now, that's okay, what's that?
Busy.
Busy, that's great. And that's rhetorical, but I like the word busy. I wonder what else might come to your mind when you're thinking about what is Fishers United Methodist Church known for? Volunteers, because if we're busy, then we got to have volunteers to staff the busyness too, right? I love the words. I wonder what else might come up to you. In the recent week since I've arrived, I've had the opportunity to ask some of you these questions in our meet and greet meetings, in our times outside of Sunday morning worship. I've even gotten to ask people in the community that I've met as well of what our church is known for in the area. The responses I've received, just like in this word cloud, have varied as well. Some have said that we are a big church with a small church feel. I love that. The bigger churches always try to get smaller, and the smaller churches always try to get bigger. We are right there in the sweet spot. That's a good place to be. We're a big church that feels like a small church. Words like fellowship and friendship quickly follow or associated with that response. Several people have said that it feels like family here, that that's what we're known for. Feels like family. When they come to worship on Sunday mornings, they know people and people know them. Their kids know people, and people know their kids or their grandkids. It feels like family. One even said that when she's here, it feels like home, especially when her kids are eating donuts in the dining room. If you're new, you got to check it out, because there are rows of donuts for you to eat. It's a lot of fun. But I love their responses. I've also heard those from in our community and those outside of Fishers who, when they think about our church, they reply different things. Oh, you're the pumpkin church, right? I'm looking forward to seeing this in a few weeks. Commercial plug, our youth who did such a wonderful job last Sunday will be out in the parking lot selling pumpkins in a few weeks. So make your order today. But many also talked about our food pantry and all of the wonderful, innovative ways it's meeting the needs of Hamilton County. An incredible thing to be known for. More than a couple people have said, oh, I know where you're located because that's where the new IKEA is going up, right? And as your pastor, I'm thinking, man, that's awesome, because at least they know where we are, right? We've got a foot in the door. They know something about us. That's a start. I love the responses and that question, because churches, like the Christians who compose them, are known for a lot of things, aren't they? Aren't we? Some good, some bad. Just like any family, we all have our stories and our own histories, but the reasons that we're known for vary from church to church, but there are a few things that are the same. What's striking, however, about these responses and the responses that I've been hearing is not what people have said, but it's what they didn't say. And so in follow-up to this question, people were asked another one. Not what their church is known for, but what do they wish their church was known for? Community is still the number one response. You can see it in that burgundy or that dark red. But instead of programs, people now take its place. Instead of food, Jesus and Christ take precedence. Instead of missions or pantry or school, people replied with words like, we want to be known for being a church that is caring, loving, welcoming. We want to be known for our relationships, and we want to be known as a family. That's what churches said they wished they were known for. Above anything else that they did, where they were located in their communities, or what ministries they had to offer, they wanted to be known for Jesus and his love. It's as though, and I'm talking collectively here, I'm not talking about Fishers UMC specifically, I'm talking about churches globally and across our state, even within our denomination or beyond. It's as though we inherently know Jesus is why we do the programs and the ministries and the food pantries and the Sunday school classrooms and the small groups. But somewhere along the way, we've substituted the major for the minor. We've settled for silver when God wants gold. That's my one and only Olympics reference for the day. But if these surveys are any indication, then we've lost sight that the good that we do is merely the means through which God works to connect us to Christ, us to one another, and Christ to the world. Because at the end of the day, as good and wonderful as our ministries are, as busy as we can be, as many volunteers as we can recruit, and by the way, we could use a few more. But at the end of the day, what we're volunteering, what we're serving, why we're selling fish and delicious, delicious tenderloins and cobblers, amen? The reason why we're doing these things is because of Jesus and his love. You see, there's a disconnect apparently between what churches do and who they're worshiping, what they do and what they're about or who they're about. Because at the end of the day, as much as Jesus did and as busy as he was, and as many times as he called his followers along to something new and a new community to reach out and love people in a new way, it was always, always, always about Jesus and people. What if we were known for that? That's the heart. That's the reason. That's why we do the ministries. That's why we have the Bible studies. That's why you go to Sunday school, right? Because about Jesus and his love and the people that you're on this journey with. Because God so loved each and every one of us that God sent his one and only Son into the world not to condemn it, but to save the world through Jesus. That's John 3:17, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. 3:16 is all right, but 3:17 is where it's at. God first loved us. And we are then called to share God's love with others in our church and throughout our community. A new command I give you, Jesus told his followers. Love one another. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. For it's by the ways you love each other that everyone will know you are my disciples. Wow. What if that's what we became more known for in our community and in our church? What if we were first and foremost known for Jesus and his love for people, his love for each and every one of us and our love for one another? And so for the next few weeks, we're going to do this little mini series about what it is that we're known for in our community. What do we wish we were known for in our church and throughout our town? We're asking that question in hopes that the answers we'll hear will be more about Jesus and his love, and secondarily, or less than, will be our programs or our location or even our best ministries. Because at the end of the day, those are only means to the end, which is Jesus Christ, who is also our beginning. It's an invitation to go back to the basics. An invitation to recalibrate and reset and put our eyes again on Jesus Christ, who loves us exactly the way we are, and yet, way too much to let us stay that way. You'll get there. I'm giving this sermon videoed, so Art, can you just edit this out? We're going to try it again. I'm just teasing on the edit part. But God loves us exactly the way we are, and yet, hey, all right, that's good. You're going to hear that more and more from me because I only know one note. That's the only note I play. I just play it different ways every once in a while. That's the same song I'll sing throughout my time here because Jesus loves us exactly the way we are and yet way too much to let us stay that way. And so I'm wondering, as we think not only about the church collectively but about each one of us personally, what is it that you're known for? Because as at the end of the day, as much as we are a collective voice, we are also a voice collected of individuals. And so this is where the mirror begins first on us. What is it that you're known for? Where are your priorities? What's your main focus? Because it's so easy to take our eyes off the main thing, isn't it? Gosh, I think of bills and budgets. I love that Dave Ramsey saying how there's always more month at the end of the money. That can distract us. I think of all the busyness. I think of all the ways in which my little girls call on my attention. And yet, if I'm going to be a good pastor, if I'm going to be a good daddy, if I'm going to be a good husband, I got to focus my eyes on Jesus. So friends, let it begin with us. And this is an invitation now to pull out that little insert in your bulletin. It's a two-sided insert. It's real simple. It's just got a blank circle on each side. And I'm going to ask you a couple questions, too. As you pull that out, maybe grab a pencil in the pew before you or grab a pen from your wife's purse. And let's look at that for a minute. It's a little exercise that might help us answer those questions about what it is that we want to be known for. So last week, I had the opportunity to go to attend a conference called the Global Leadership Summit. It's put on every year by Bill Hybels and the staff at Willow Creek Church outside of Chicago. And Bill was reflecting on all of the ways in which his ministry has grown and the busyness that kept up with him. And then one time his daughter came in to ask him if he had time to listen. And he said, "Oh, I'm busy, honey. You're going to have to talk fast because Daddy's working on a sermon." And she says, "That's okay, Daddy. I'll wait. I'll come back when you can listen slowly." And so when you look at the one side, it doesn't matter which one you pick, it's the same side. I'm wondering how you would divide that circle up into a pie chart of your time. Pick any day, pick any week, but go ahead and write that down or draw some lines in that circle of what your pie chart would look like, of your time, of your energy, of your thoughts, because we all know we can be in a place and yet be somewhere entirely different, right? So perhaps your time might be spent somewhere, but your thoughts in another location. Think about that. I'll give you a couple prompts as we look up here. I wonder what yours would look like. For some people, work is going to take up a big chunk. Sleep is, that's probably being too generous. But Netflix, did you like that one? This might not be the crowd for that one, but there are times to Netflix binge. I don't know if that's one of your things or not. But what would be in your circle? I had an opportunity to speak with some leaders in our community yesterday. They talked about how wonderful our sports programs here are here in our community. But that takes up a lot of time too. Maybe you're traveling with your kids, or maybe you are traveling to your grandkids' games. That might take up a big chunk of your slot of your pie circle. I wonder what yours looks like. It might look like the next one. When I think about the ways in which life demands or tries to take our energy, be it where we are physically or where we find ourselves mentally, I often wonder if many of our pie charts look like this one. And within this question, I wonder how much work is enough. How hard do you have to push? How high do you have to rise in your company in order to be satisfied? How much money do you need in order for it to be enough? What kind of car do you need to drive in order to have made it? Is the hustle worth it? Because friends, in part, what we're talking about is the busyness, and we're talking about the good, and we're talking about the stuff, not the malicious things, not the bad things. We're talking about all the good things in our lives or in our churches, in our ministries, that somehow still fall short of what it is that God is calling us and inviting us to be and become. We've settled for silver when God wants the gold. There, I did it again. I wasn't planning on it, but there's a second Olympics reference, okay? We've settled for less than that which God wants for our lives. But here's the good news. With Jesus, and in life, you don't get do-overs. But with Jesus, you do get makeovers. You can start with a clean chart today. And that's that other side of the insert. Today, you can decide how you're going to fill that chart in. Today, you can make a conscious decision with God and inviting God into how God would want you to order and structure your time and your life and the people with whom you spend it. That is the invitation. to once again make the main thing, to major on the majors, to go for that gold.